This episode of the Duct Tape Marketing Podcast is brought to you by WordStream, online advertising made easy. Look, it is so easy to waste time and money with online advertising. That's why you need tools like WordStream. Check it out at wordstream.com. Hello and welcome to another episode of the Duct Tape Marketing Podcast. This is John Jantz and my guest today is Jim Dieter. He is the CEO of Gravity House, a self-described new model of globally conscious hospitality and experiential brands, covering everything from food and beverage, lodging, training, co-working, exercise, located in Colorado, in the mountains in Colorado. So, Jim, thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me, John.
So, let's describe the concept, because as you said, it's kind of a new model, what you're doing there. So give us the lay of the land.
Yeah, the lay of the land is, for lack of a better way, we wanted to build a community of people that love the outdoors. And a lot of the inspiration for a lot of businesses, for most entrepreneurs, including myself, come from solving my own problems. So I've been in Colorado now for over 2 decades, and I've raised 3 children here. And part of living in Colorado is your access to nature, access to going to the mountain towns, whether that be Breckenridge or Winter Park or Vail or what have you. And doing that's kind of complicated because a couple of dynamics are happening. One, there's a lot of logistics of moving kids and ski gear and equipment around. It's expensive to own a second home there, because many people are being priced out of the second home market. Most people understand that fractionals or timeshares are not the best opportunity and deal. So a lot of this was about, you know, all the challenges I had to overcome to live this Colorado lifestyle of how to know where to go, know there's going to be great food, know there's going to be a world-class gym where I can stay active and train, know that there's something to do with family, and ultimately, how do we build this world-class experiences for something to do when we're there, and who are the great people to do it with? And that was really the idea of how to solve that sort of bundle of problems, which did turn into an entire lifestyle suite of brands, if you will.
So give us a little bit of background of your history. I mean, this is not something somebody just wakes up one day and says, I'm going to do this giant investment, you know, and build this thing. So where did you come from
in order to do that? You know, like many folks, I have humble origins of a young, ambitious entrepreneur that sees challenges and wants to build a better world. And ultimately, a lot of my passion has always revolved around seeing a problem that I was deeply passionate about and work to try to solve that. But a lot of it, my foundation comes from technology. Most of my start was, I came of employment age when Netscape and Microsoft and the browser wars were happening and Silicon Valley was just taking shape, and I was going to school in Chicago, and I'm like, I got to get west and be part of this thing. I made it as far as Denver and became part of the Denver Boulder community, and ended up launching a series of technology companies. One that was sort of WordPress before WordPress. We used to call it Web Content Management System, and successfully sold that as a very young man to a German company, and then went on to build one of IBM's largest systems integrators. So we built some of the largest web infrastructure in the world. And that what happened in that is really integral, because what I saw in the advantages of competing in that business was ultimately it was about people, and that we would go and find the best people in the world and we would teach them the skills. So instead of just trying to recruit the top computer scientists from all the top schools, we said, we'll take anybody. We don't care where you went to school, trade school, or maybe you didn't even go to school. You're an autodidact that taught yourself. We're going to bring you in. We're going to put you through a 6-month program to teach you the skills we want, the skills as a consultant. And we ultimately scaled that to a very large company and had a very successful exit. And from that experience, and at the same time, my wife and I launched a restaurant business in Colorado called Cholam, which became a very famous, successful restaurant. So you have this tech entrepreneur that's now colliding with hospitality. And this was all happening in 2009, 2010. And I saw this opportunity where I wanted to empower as many entrepreneurs as possible. And I wanted to build this modern campus, which manifested itself in terms of a company called Galvanize. So we were the first to put these urban co-working spaces with a software engineering school. We ran the largest data science school in the country. And we also ran a venture fund as part of it. So for whatever reason, I love to bite off these crazy audacious ideas that cross industry boundaries and technology to create one awesome community experience.
So back to Gravity House, what you've created there is a lot of these things brought together, but it's more of a membership model, isn't it?
It is. I mean, the hotel, a mountain resort hospitality in general also has its own challenges. Mountain resorts in America particularly have kind of gone in one of two directions. They've gotten really expensive and ritzy, or they've kind of gotten 40 years dated and run down, right?
Yeah.
And our idea is how do we reinvent mountain hospitality, where we create an elegant, beautiful place where people want to be, the food's amazing, the coffee's amazing, the people are amazing. We've anticipated their needs and activities and experiences and have our own guide service in our lobby to take you out and do whatever you want. But we underwrote the whole thing at a price point that is extremely approachable and reasonable. And people are willing to spend a couple hundred dollars a night and not spend $800 a night on a hotel room. They want to spend time on experiences and themselves, not waste it all in a room that hopefully they're just putting their head in a bed. So it does stand alone as a hotel. Anyone's welcome to it. But we do offer our members, we do believe there's a large part of the population, both here in the Front Range of Colorado, where I am today, or other places of people now that can work remotely, that want an elegant co-working space, that want to have discounts on rooms, that want to have access to world-class training facilities and studios, and also have amazing experiences with other like-minded humans in nature. Because that, to me and to many other people, I think, that share these values, that's kind of one of the most important essences of being a human on this beautiful sphere we get to inhabit, is having amazing outdoor experiences with other humans is one of the most special things we can do as humans, I think.
Well, it's interesting. I mean, you know, we've always had community around schools, around churches, you know, and then we had these social communities. But in a lot of ways, you're trying to build a community around behavior or shared ideals that still allow people to live and work and do the stuff they have to do.
Absolutely. I mean, at the underlying, because many people say, well, is this for X demographic or Y demographic or socioeconomic? So first, you know, we didn't want this to be a club. We call it a community specifically, because I want this to be the anti-club, if you will. Because as soon as you say the word club, it invokes exclusivity. We want to be inclusive. It invokes, you know, we want this to be about amazing experiences and opportunities, not about brands or logos. We want luxury to equal unrivaled experiences. And to put all those things together, and it's funny, it's actually playing out that way, because we have, you know, 65-year-olds joining, and we have 24-year-olds joining, and now that people can work from anywhere, we're seeing this incredible accelerated demand, because we wanted to build this campus, if you will, where people can seamlessly move through their flow of life. They can go to work, they can have a beautiful co-working space, they can go out and ride their bike or go for a hike, come back and meet their friends for coffee. If they're local in the Front Range, we call them our weekender membership. You know, they can just be the weekender, or we have what we call our all-ins, who spend a lot more time and can roam across our multiple properties that we're putting in Vail, Winter Park, and Breckenridge right now.
So it's funny, I was going to ask you, you know, because a lot of hospitality, you know, the whole pandemic thing is just really whacked them. And you're suggesting that in some ways, because this meets more than just the need for a travel someplace and have a bed, that it's actually, you've actually seen an uptick.
We've actually seen an amazing uptick. And one of my good friends who writes for the Colorado Sun just released a new article about the urban exodus, and the mountain demand that we're seeing right now is actually astounding. The demand for schools, the people that are relocating, or the people that have the ability and are fortunate enough to take their second home and turn it into their permanent residence, where they're moving from New York or from London, the mountain towns are booming right now. And I don't want to say out of crystal ball, but I predicted this. We've been working on this for a couple of years, almost several years now, but the pandemic has accelerated that trend of people now that their employers are saying, work wherever you want. They're choosing, like, well, I love Breckenridge, Colorado. I love Vail, Colorado. I love Aspen, Colorado. I can work there. I can work from anywhere. So why don't I relocate my life there? And
I wonder if, like you said, I wonder if this is actually going to accelerate the future of work being just what you said is, you know, if I can work anywhere, why wouldn't I work in a really cool place?
Where I choose when I have my recreational time, and where I like to hike and bike and climb and raft and ski. Why wouldn't I want to be able to do that on my lunch break or in the morning before I go into the work? I mean, this whole work-life lifestyle that I think has been blending for a long time, and I've, you know, most of my career, having grown up in tech, we've been the most liberal about how you work and we're working from home. So to me, that's been my whole lifestyle. So I've always built this integrated work life. I think that now is inextricably linked, both in terms of people raising their kids and the constant change and flux of what will happen with schools and kids studying from home and blended learning of offline and online, and how do we care for our kids and keep them experienced? And now I got to work from home. So many new trends are going to take place. And I do see the opportunity for a campus and a community in mountain towns to have this level of investment and access to amenities. We're seeing the demand pretty grow very intensely right now.
Online advertising has become an essential part of the puzzle today, but it's tough. It's changing every day. It's hard. It's easy to waste time and money trying to figure out how to get it right. That's why you need some tools in your corner. I love a tool called WordStream. You can get consulting as well as a tool to shave tons of time off to have reporting done for you. If you're an agency, then you've got that problem times 10. You need these tools to help you manage. You need the tools that WordStream offers to help you attract even more clients. If you want to benchmark your Google Ads account right now, they've even got a free tool for that. And they've got a great Growth Academy that's free as well. Check it out at wordstream.com. Online advertising made easy. That sounds nice, doesn't it?
So do you, you mentioned the mountains, and obviously people that love mountains, but some people don't like mountains. Some people don't like snow. So do you think that this concept would work in a lot of places? I mean, obviously there's got to be some draw, but do you think that, as long as there's a draw, this concept would work in a lot of places?
It's funny. I do think it probably will. I think if you look at the excerpts of, as soon as you even get beyond suburban areas outside of large metro areas, I think this is going to happen whether it's necessarily mountain or not. I do think mountains have amazing appeal, but there's other geographical areas of the country that have other appeals, that whether they be ocean amenities or beach amenities or other sort of beautiful rolling hills and meadow amenities. I do think this trend will, the pendulum are always swings, right? Galvanize was predictive on the rise of the urban creative class in the urban center. And I do think we're seeing a unpredicted rapid acceleration of people leaving urban centers right now. And I would not have predicted that was going to happen, by the way. I mean, that is directly impacted by the pandemic.
Well, it accelerated, certainly, right? Yeah. So let me ask you this, as somebody who you and I were talking off air, I spend about half of my time in Colorado. Three of my kids are out there. And in fact, one lives in Eagle, right down the road from where you are or from where your places are. How do the locals feel about this? There's always a lot of tension between, like, we've been here 40 years and now all these people are coming out here.
It's so funny. There was I don't want to speak for all locals, and I recently relocated to Vail full time too. So I left the Denver community I've been in Denver for the last 22 years. And I had actually, as I tell my friends now, I chose pre-pandemic, I made the decision we were going to relocate to Vail in September of last year. And now, my son, who's just been now living in Vail for the last 3 months, has already adapted this, go home, tourist. And I'm like, oh, hold on a second. And there was a big Outside Magazine article that was exquisitely written, that was very well written. I forget the author, about this conflict of, there's a lot of talk about over tourism before this happened, right? It was like too much tourism. And then we stared down the barrel of, we woke up one night and it was all gone. Yeah. And the business went away. No one's in the shops, no one's in the restaurants, no one's in the hotels, right? I think that was everyone's worst nightmare. And there's always going to be, for whatever reason, there's going to be this tension on our natural resources and those that live there every day. And those that ultimately, we live on tourism, right? At the same time, right? If tourists don't come, these economies don't survive. That balance and that challenge, my guidance to everybody is, we should be inclusive and welcome of anybody. Just because you were there first doesn't mean you have right to it, right? And I think the potential diversity of more people relocating provide more stability. And a lot of these people can offer great things and basis for the towns. Is there going to be a tension and a strife of those that don't respect or value the culture of the town, right? And the history of the town? I think both sides need to be respectful of both opinions, and there's going to be tension on that line. I just hope it stays healthy tension. And by the way, like I said, pre-pandemic, it was already getting to an unstable state. I mean, there's articles in the Aspen Times of over-tourism. There's a National Geographic article out this week about town of Jackson being overrun. And I was there last week. It's insane how many people were in Jackson. It was so crowded. It's not going to be without its challenges, of course.
Yeah. Go ski on Tuesday morning, right?
Oh, well, you know, the beauty of being someone that lives there is, I've already adopted the patterns of I don't plan to do anything in town on the weekends. I wait until the weekdays.
That's right. So, you know, this was not a small undertaking by any means. It's a very, very, you know, impressive, cool undertaking. Surely there were challenges. What were some of those?
Oh, I mean, the challenges of hotels are in hospitality is always interesting. And I would say number one that we always focus on is as beautiful as we believe our properties are and elegant and cool the spaces are, hospitality is about people and human connections and finding great people and hiring great people in mountain towns. I'm hoping maybe that becomes easier because more people will be willing, you know, to come to mountain resort towns. But I think, you know, the labor pools in mountains as we've been staffing these things up is incredibly challenging. It was very, very hard, particularly when we were at historical unemployment rate in the pre-pandemic. Yeah. But at the end of the day, I think everything revolves around people and hospitality at its essence is about how other humans make other people feel. And so we're always focused on recruiting the best people. So we're hiring out there for anybody listening. If you're in the hospitality sector and want to live in cool mountain towns and be part of some cool community, hopefully you don't mind the blatant plug, John.
No. I want people to come. No, it's funny. You're right. When employment was that low, if somebody was living in a mountain town and didn't have a job, they didn't want one.
Exactly.
That made it tough, right?
Well, they could walk down the street and get, I mean, anybody with a pulse could get hired. I mean,
and that's
shifting now, but in different ways. And a lot of resort towns run on J-1 visas that's now turned off. So it's going to be interesting to see how the ski season unfolds this year as well.
So the nearest town to where I live is a little town called Nederland.
I don't know if you've been through Nederland.
It's on the Peak to Peak Highway. And, you know, there's a whole lot of people. That's not a resort town by any means. There's a whole lot of people living there that, you know, they just want to chop a little lumber, plow a little snow, and, you know, just hang out. That's definitely a mountain town.
Oh, Nederland is definitely a unique beast. You know, it has you get me and the other cyclist and mountain biker. You know, you get the cyclists that pass through on the Peak to Peak
Highway. Oh, yeah.
You know, we're a big cycling group, mountain biking group. But, I know Nederland and Ward and all those little Boulder Mountain, Boulder foothill towns out there.
There's some great trails in Ned, too. So, yeah, awesome. So we've talked about the membership level. Just let's finish up today. Just kind of explain it, you know, how it works. I mean, it, like you said, people buy a membership, they can do a weekend thing, they can do, you know, all in, just tell people where they can find out about it and then just kind of explain sort of how the finances work.
Sure, absolutely. So first off, it's gravityhouse.com. That's gravityhaus.com. And all of our plans are there. And we have a starting plan at $20 that we call our social membership. We have a next level up plan that's a $60 a month weekender plan. And then depending on whether you're local in the community you live in, Breck or Vail or Winter Park, or if you're outside of it, it's a $120 or $160 a month. So local, we do a local folks that live in the community with the address of a better deal. And if you look at the return profile on the investment, basically, if you stay at the property one night as a weekender, you already recoup your investment. So you get unlimited fitness access at our Denver locations, at all of our fitness locations where we run our studio business we call Dryland, is our sports fitness and functional training studio that has recovery capabilities. So the weekender has some limitations, but you get so many discounted nights. So right now, if you're a member of Gravity House, you can stay at our properties. I think you could probably stay at Breckenridge for $100 a night right now because you get 50% off discount at weekends. You get 25% off our F&B. You get so many classes at our fitness facility. And then we also have a what we call our House Quiver add-on. So we have a gear subscription program that we do with skis that for $25 a month, you have access to 15,000 different pairs of skis that are going to be on 16 premier locations, including at Vail Sports. And these are the most high-end demo skis from Icelandics and the best K2s. This is all high-end demo stuff. Again, we're trying to solve for where to stay, where to play, who to play with, and make sure you have the best gear right at your fingertips.
Awesome. Well, Jim, thanks for stopping by and talking about Gravity House on the Duct Tape Marketing Podcast. And hopefully we'll see you next time I'm out in your part of Colorado.
Please come visit us.